praise the living God. All right. Today we're going into deeper stuff. Eh? Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? Someone came to me last week and they said, you gave us meat. I said, yes, the Lord said you're ready. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? So today, it's extremely important that you pay close attention. The Spirit of the Lord has something for you. If there's anything, you are the reception that you give allows me to really delve into what the office of the teacher is. Eh? Praise the Lord. There's no masquerading. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so as we go on, you know, because we're living in the end times, it will be clear. The offices are going to be very clear. So you will know a masquerader. Someone who calls themselves something that they're not. I'm not a masquerader. Praise the living God. I meet people who often come to me and say, Prophet, how are you? I'm not a prophet. Never been, and as far as I know, I shall never be. You're all welcome. Let's dive straight into it, because I want you to pay very close attention. Stick with me, because where the Spirit of the Lord wants us to go, by the end of it, you would have at least got some clarity of where the Lord wants you to be. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, Genesis chapter 1. Easy enough. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. In the Bible gives us, or Scripture gives us, different worlds. Worlds, plural. It depicts different worlds. Worlds, plural. And, are you ready for this? Now, these worlds, I'm going to pinpoint 5. I won't have time to stick on them, because the Spirit of the Lord wants me to emphasize somewhere. But you will know, and you will have a clear understanding of where we're coming from and what the Lord wants to do in this time and age. The first world is the pre-Adamic world. Pre-Adamic world. Now, pre-Adamic means before Adam. The pre-Adamic world. And the Bible gives us hints of the pre-Adamic world in Scripture. It gives us hints of it all over. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, in parts of Jeremiah, and other parts of Scripture. But most of the pre-Adamic world is mysterious. The only way you can tap into the pre-Adamic world is if God takes you there. Okay, now some people are lost, but God can take you there. The pre-Adamic world is largely mysterious, but we know that there was a world that existed before Adam was actually created. Yes? Okay? When we study the pre-Adamic world, we want to find out, why did God create the universe? Why did he bring man into existence? Okay? Praise the Lord. So there is a pre-Adamic world. Then there is what I refer to as the Adamic world, which is Adam in the Garden of Eden. Okay? That is what I call the Adamic world. It's different from the pre-Adamic world. The Adamic world is now, man is created now. This is where you need to pay very close attention. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Take me to verse 6. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament, the expanse of the sky and the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters below from the waters above. Now, listen very, very carefully. When God created the earth, he did not create it the way we see it introduced in Genesis. Now, some of you know this, so I won't dwell so much on it. But we know that the earth has water on its surface when it's introduced. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Yes? Now, this part of Scripture is extremely important, because everything was water. Then God separates the waters. So it's one... What should I say? It's literally, everything is water. So God gets the water and separates it into two. Okay? So now there's water below and water above. You with me? Simple English. He gets the water, separates it into two. The separation is called the firmament, which in fact is the atmosphere. Now, yeah? Okay? So it's separated. He puts a firmament in between them. He separates the lower waters, which we call the seas and the oceans and whatsoever. And then there is a firmament. There's a higher water. There's waters above. Okay? So he separates. This is the Adamic world. Now, at that time, God creates this. Now, if you read through scripture, the Bible says that about the third day, God creates plants. Okay? And decrees, and the plants come out, and the trees, and all those things. He creates them before he creates the sun, moon, and stars, which are created the next day. Now, according to us, plants need sunlight. Okay? But God doesn't think so. He creates the plants and the animals, then creates the sun, moon, and stars after. So then, we know that the plants existed by the light that existed there before the sun, moon, and stars. Yes? Because in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." So that light gave plantation life. Okay? Then he creates the sun, moon, and stars. Now, then the Bible says that he separates the waters, the land from the waters. Eh? Actually, he decrees, what is it, verse 8, 9? Take me to verse 9. Let's go step by step so that I really feel I have to teach this. Okay, verse 29 actually. 29. I don't know why you're using Amplified, but it's okay. And God said, "See, I have given you every plant." Okay, now this is verse 29. The Bible says that God decrees and separates the waters from the land. It's somewhere around there. Verse 9. Bible scholars, you with me? Oh, you guys don't come with Bibles, eh? So you just want to look ahead, eh? Okay, it's somewhere in there. So he separates the waters from the land. Now, the decree is this. 2 Peter, 3 verse 5. Take me there. I want to show you what happens. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." Give me Amplified. Quick. "For they willfully overlook and forgot this fact, that the heavens came into existence long ago by the word of God, and the earth also which was formed out of..." The earth was formed out of... And it says, "And by means of..." So it wasn't just down there somewhere. God speaks to water and the earth is formed from... Eh? You're with me? Okay, so he speaks. Now I'm giving you a general overview. Verse 29 then says that God speaks and says... Take me to verse 29, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 29. We're going to go quick study until we reach where the Lord wants to take us. Eh? Chapter 1, verse 29. "And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." So God decrees in chapter 1 and speaks and says, every tree. Chapter 1 doesn't say, apart from the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Am I the one? Was it? It says, every single tree you shall eat from. Okay? So it says that. One day we shall touch on that. Eh? It will take me some time. So, God decrees it in chapter 1 and gives man everything to eat. If you look through scripture, in the Adamic world, we know that Adam was given only plants to eat. Because it's a decree. Go to verse 10. "You shall have them for food." Verse 30. Quick. Verse 30. "And to all the animals in the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the ground, to everything in which there is the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." So no one's eating meat. We agree? Now, don't worry. Don't worry, eh? I love pork. relax. So no one's eating meat. From the very beginning, the decree in Adamic world, Adam is created. He's created, so we take note of a number of things. Number one, when he's created in an environment where there's not only water below, there's water above. He would look up and see water above. It's scripture. Secondly, he's not allowed to eat meat. Actually, it's not even in his mind. We agree? It's scripture. Genesis chapter 2 now, verse 4. This is the Adamic world. Chapter 2, verse 4. This is the history of the heavens of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And it says, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not yet caused it to rain. So, we know that now, even in Adam's world, there was no rain. Why? Because scripture says he caused rain upon the earth and there was no man to till the ground. Everything sprang from the ground. Next verse, verse 6. But there went up a mist, fog, vapor from the land and watered the whole surface. So there's no rain. Everything is being nourished by water coming from under the ground. We agree? Yes, I'm not coming up with my own things. Okay? So in Adam's world, we know that there is water above, one. We know he's not allowed to eat meat, two. We know that somehow water is springing. So all the rivers that we see are forged by water coming from under the ground. We agree? Praise the Lord. Okay, that's the Adamic world. And we know, according to scripture, that somehow if Adam ate before the fall, he ate out of pleasure and not out of hunger. With me? Adam could not have eaten out of hunger before the fall. He ate out of pleasure, as you will when you enter eternity. And I'm not talking about when you die and leave this earth. Praise the Lord. So there was an Adamic world. Now, somewhere along the way, you know the story, Adam sins. When Adam sins, everything falls. That's when we go now to the third kind of world, which is the post-Adamic world. So it's after the fall. Alright? When Adam sins, the spiritual environment changes. Sin now passes down to everyone. And not only everyone, but everything. Yes? The animals did nothing wrong. They didn't eat any fruit, yes? But somehow Adam eats and everything else receives the repercussion of it, yes? The spiritual principle there is that Adam, everything received life from man. Very important. Very important you get this. Everything received life from man. That's why when man died, quote unquote, everything dies. But everything did not die instantly. The spiritual environment changed, but the natural environment remained perfect. So, he's kicked out of the Garden of Eden, true, but there's still waters above. Plants are there. God cast the ground, but it takes a while for the environment to catch up. That's why Adam did not die instantly. You're with me? Everything is catching up because sin is doing its work. All right? Now, in the pre-Adamic world, all of a sudden we see, I mean in the post-Adamic world, all of a sudden we see that, all of a sudden we see, now, all this time, the implication we get through scripture is that no one's eating meat. I was with someone and they asked me, why then is Abel or Cain, you know, Cain bringing vegetables and Abel bringing sheep? What's he rearing sheep for? I said, don't always think about food. Right? Sheep have wool. Not so? Ah, you guys. Anyway. But I'll tap this in, I'll prove it through scripture, that I'm not just getting these things out of my head. Now. So, the post-Adamic world, man is still not eating meat. Okay? But sin is doing its work. Now, all of a sudden in Genesis chapter 5, we see that guys are living up to 900 years old. The oldest of which is who? Methuselah, 969 years old. 969 years old. Almost reaching 1,000. Okay? Your portion, eh? Now, it's very, very important you understand. Very, very important you understand. That the post-Adamic world, the way it was now, the post-Adamic world is from the fall of Adam all the way up to before the flood. Now, in there, a lot happens. In there, if you read, now, I believe, you can take it or leave it, eh? It's up to you. But I believe the book of Enoch is actually the book of Enoch. And in it, it says that in Genesis chapter 5, in the days of Jared, chapter 5 verse 15, a guy called Jared, angels, 200 of them, come from above, fallen angels, and begin to do their work down those ends. According to Genesis chapter 6, they have intercourse with the daughters of men. Okay? You know the story. And give birth to giants. Now, from Jared all the way to the time of Noah, it's almost 1,000 years. 1,000 years those giants are doing their havoc. We're heading somewhere. Huh? I've taken long without teaching this stuff. Yeah? So allow me. Yeah? 1,000 years. These giants are doing their havoc. So imagine intercourse with daughters of men, producing giants, changing DNA for 1,000 years. And not only having intercourse with daughters of men, but even animals. We shall touch that another day. The highest level of sin was there. If it was homosexuality, it was there. If it was bestiality, it was there. To the extent that the Bible then says in Genesis 6 that Noah was the only righteous man. Now, Noah is the only righteous man, but he has a family, right? The Bible doesn't say the family is righteous. Yes? But because one man is righteous, everyone else? We agree? Now, the Bible does say that the entire world was corrupted except for Noah and his family. Something had happened to a DNA change. One day we shall teach on that, because those days, there were giants physically. Over history, they switched from physical giants to intellectual ones. Today, they are spiritual ones. But I can also assure you that the real ones are very much around. We shall touch on that someday. somewhere around. Somewhere. Now, the post-Adamic world is full of this stuff that's happening. Okay, giants are doing this, Noah is there. You know, God in Genesis chapter 7 tells Noah to enter the ark. It takes Noah, the Bible says God appears to Noah when he's 500. Finishes the ark when he's 600. That's 100 years of building an ark. Huh? 100 years. He enters the ark in Genesis chapter 7. The Bible then says that God locks him up with his family after all the animals have entered. Then they wait 7 days. It's in scripture. I think it's verse 20. 7 days. Then it rains. So in other words, God doesn't just lock them up and rain comes. Now, imagine for 100 years, Noah is building an ark. And he's saying there's a flood coming. No one believes him. Not just because they're evil, but because there had never been rain. Hey. Are you? Okay. There had never been rain. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews, it says it was attributed unto Noah as faith because he believed God for things he had not yet to see. Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Noah believed God's warnings about things in the future he had yet to see. So someone says rain is going to come from up. Water is going to come from up. You've never seen it, but you believe. Yeah? That's why it's attributed to him as faith.
Some other chaps are sitting around and saying, what water from above? No way. Okay? Now, I have to move faster so we get where we're going. Now, what happens is, you know the story. By the way, I need to correct a few things. Scripture says that Noah, actually give me chapter Genesis 7 verse 1. I'm going to be quoting a lot of scriptures. Because when you're teaching this, you need proof. Eh? Okay. It says, and the Lord said to Noah, come with all your household into the ark, for I have seen you to be righteous, upright, and in the right standing. Doesn't even mention the family. They're saying, I've seen you before me in this generation. Verse 2. Then he says, of every clean beast you shall receive and take with you 7 pairs. The animals went by twos. Hey, you Bible readers. It says 7 pairs. And you see, when you see on TV, you just see a lion and lioness, eh? And everything is by two. But there were animals that God refers to as clean that went in 7 pairs. Are you with me? Then the unclean ones went in twos. Okay, now I'm correcting you. Yeah, you thought you had read the story. You know it, eh? Yeah? Now, why 7 clean? Clean animals are animals you put on the altar for sacrifice. If Noah had taken only 2 clean animals each, after the flood, he would have killed a certain species. Are you guys getting me? God is sharp. Because all the clean animals were needed for sacrifice. And the first thing he does is put up an altar and kill a certain animal. Thank God it's a clean animal because there are 7 pairs. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, this is all the post-Adamic world. Okay? Post-Adamic. The world has fallen. Everything is changing now. Noah enters the ark, which brings me then to the fourth world, which is the world after the flood. He enters the ark. The Bible says that water comes from underneath and breaks from above. Okay? And the whole earth is flooded. Now, when the earth is flooded, according to scripture, that water above no longer exists now. It's broken. Okay? So now, Noah, after 40 days, 40 nights, the Bible says the ark rests on the Mount Ararat. He comes out to a different environment to the one that he saw when he entered. This time there is no waters above. You get me? Two, because there's no waters above, they existed before the fall. They existed what they would call, not before the fall, before the flood. They existed a perfect environment. The climate was perfect. Why? Because there was something that was stopping the sun rays. Now it's destroyed. Listen carefully. It's destroyed. The sun has direct access to people, animals. So God now says, eat meat. Now let's go into some biology. Genesis, actually, you guys might think I'm preaching my own things, eh? Okay, Genesis chapter 9. Take me chapter 9. Lord. Chapter 9 verse 3. Quick. It says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. God has changed. Huh? Now the flood is over. Everyone comes out. And Noah is looking at the sky. The sky is different. Please know that before the flood, it was not blue. It couldn't have been. Because we know the sky is blue for those, let me teach you, because of refraction. Huh? Yeah, I've taught you now. Eh? So we know the sky is blue because of refraction. But before there was something there. So the environment that he knew before, he steps out, sees something different. Now because that firmament, that waters above is destroyed, the seasons on the earth change. God then says in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth now endures, seed time and harvest. Before there had never been cold and heat. I don't know if you get it. Eh? Otherwise, it would not be a perfect environment if a man is freezing and is naked. Oh my God. Okay. All right. Something changes. Cold and heat. That happens right after there has been a flood. The seasons change. Actually, I can assure you that the earth itself, because of the flood and because of the changes in the weather, it tilted. Actually, science says that something changed the tilting of the earth. So while before days were counted, 30 days, we know that because scripture says from a particular day up to the day the ark settled, there were 5 months. It's there. You count it. 5. And it says 150 days. He settles on the 120 days. Settles on the 120th day. You count. You count. And you see each day was about 30 days. Something changes. Something changes the way we count time. It's no longer perfect. In fact, the earth was moving at a certain speed and slowed down. Now, I don't have time to go into this, but even the days that we have are so imperfect. The calendar that we use is so imperfect because there's a guy, St. Augustine. The guy, apparently, when it came to August, his birth month, he said, my month has to be special. So he added an extra day. But August used to have 30 days. Because some chap said, no, I have to be special. Added an extra day. So now that means we have a natural calendar which is error prone. But then there is a spiritual calendar. In Job chapter 14 and verse 13, NLT, Job speaking to God says, put me on your calendar, oh God. Don't worry, you'll catch up. Job 14, 13. He says, put me on your calendar, oh Lord. Honestly, NLT. I like the way they put it. But mark your calendar to think of me again. So there is a spiritual calendar. Yes? The way we count time is not the way God does it. Huh? That means when you think time is running out. Okay. All right. We're not yet there. Okay? Okay? So, the world as it is in the time of Noah after the flood goes through specific changes. People are now chewing meat like no man's business. Huh? Why are they chewing meat? Because biology tells us if you go to a place that is cold, you don't only eat greens. You need protein. Meat. God decrees. Huh? Now, but in this time and age, hear me carefully. It is actually possible for a person to be healthy even without eating certain foods. Very, very much so. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? We're going through history. I never thought I would ever go like this before. Eh? It's been a long time. So, it's a world that is different. Okay? A world that is different from what Noah was used to. He steps out, his family goes out, everything is changing. Please understand that the animals before the fall were more than the animals and the species we have now. Because some were wiped out during the flood. Then there were some put on the ark, but after some time they became extinct. Yes? I want to restore to you that whenever scripture talks about specific animals, for example, when it's referring to the devil, it refers to him as a serpent. It can't refer to him as a serpent if serpents did not exist. Yes? In scripture, Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says the serpent was more cunning than any animal. Okay? The devil possessed a snake. From then on, he is symbolized as a serpent. He can't be symbolized as a serpent if the serpent does not exist. Yes? Okay? Or did not exist. Somewhere in Revelation chapter 12, the devil is symbolized as a dragon. Okay. Now you see how you guys are there, man. This guy today, what he's teaching. Somewhere he's symbolized as a dragon. Huh? Job 39 verse 9. Let me show you something. Job 39, give me the Amplified. Give me the Amplified. No, KJV. Job 39 verse 9. I thought unicorns don't exist.
Okay, that's for another day.
Oh man, you guys.
I won't teach this again.
Now, this is the KJV, the old version. As they went to newer versions, they said this cannot mean unicorn. Unicorns can't exist. Like a horse with a thing that grants wishes. So they changed it. If you go to the NKJV, it talks about wild ox. Really, ox? Unicorn, ox, unicorn. Anyway, so there were animals and there were creatures that existed before. There were species that existed. Which explains to some level why we find bones of certain animals or creatures. Yes? You just have to allow it because you find the animal. We see the bones. Now, I'm heading somewhere with this. I want to rush off with this. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 10 verse 25, remember the earth was one. When the giants were on earth, they would travel all over the world because the waters and the land were separated. Okay? There was water, land was one land mass. So if you wanted to go somewhere, you just walk. Nothing like building a ship. Okay? But in chapter 10 verse 25, the Bible says, and unto Elba were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. So that's continental drifting. Let me help you out. Continental drifting means that the continents that we have now, they are where they are because it started in those days. Okay? So the earth is one landmass. After the flood, all of a sudden the ground is broken through. There's water all of a sudden. Then it says in his days, Peleg, the earth is divided. So slowly, the continents begin to separate. I want to bestow to you, and one day I'll teach it when the Lord allows, that right now we have 5 continents, but there were more. There are some that are submerged. Okay. And not only submerged, there are cities down there. But for another day. For another day. Okay? So, wait a minute. That means what we see, the animals we have, are fewer than what was there. The continents we have are fewer than what was there. Everything has changed. Because of the presence of sin and the fall of man. Okay? Now, we're getting to where it needs to be relevant to you. Praise the Lord. All this, some of you already know it. Now let me get to the real part. The Bible says, actually it says that the moment that Adam sinned, he was separated from God, first of all spiritually, but also physically, in some way. Now, we call it being alienated from God. Men back those days had to have the Spirit of God come upon them in order to have some sense of connection with God. Now remember what I told you, that chaps were living 900 years. After the flood, all of a sudden, age is cut. Okay? Age is cut. If you look, you got Genesis 11. Genesis 11, verse 10. These are the generations of Shem. Shem, 100 years old, begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Huh? Then it says, and Shem lived after, begat Arphaxad 500 years. So he lives 500 years. If you go downwards all the way to Abraham, guys are now 100 years old. People are dying at 100. Age is reducing. To the point where scripture says now, in Psalms 90 verse 12, it says, scarcely will a man live to be 80. And if he has strength, perhaps 70. Now, somehow, we have come from 900 to someone saying, man, if a man has strength, at least let him touch 80 years old.
Eh? You're with me so far? Something changed. Men were alienated from the life that was in God. And all of a sudden, remember I told you, what world is that? It's the world after Noah, after the flood. There is one more world. The world after Christ died and resurrected. Now, that's the important one. All this other stuff I've just jumped to try to get to a point. Listen to me carefully. The biggest lie the devil has ever given men today is to give them the impression that God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And when we talk about him, he's over there. God and me. I'm here, God is over there. And so we talk about how he's powerful, he's light, he's what? And then we talk about ourselves. You fail, you what? Huh? That's the biggest deception the enemy has ever given. That's why if you read through scripture in Romans, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of glory. Falling short of glory actually means falling short of God's identity. Now, this is where you need to be pay very close attention. You see, the Bible says, Colossians 1:21. Is it Colossians 1:21? Quick. Colossians 1:21. What does it say? And ye that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, after Christ died and resurrected, we weren't enemies spiritually, we weren't enemies physically. You're an enemy in your mind. You're alienated in your mind. Your mind needs to change. Now, this is the thing. The only thing separating you from God is your mind. Only thing. Now, this is crazy because scripture then says, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It's not God over there and me here. You're one spirit with God. Now you need to understand how extremely powerful that is, because it does not mean you're God. But what it means is that when someone looks at you, they see God. And when they interact with God, they see you. They should. It's one spirit. One. The Bible says, as he is, so are we. There's no distinction. Scripture says, we do not know. We are children. It actually says we are children of God, but we do not yet know what we shall be. Okay, so right now the Bible says all creation longs for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, then in John, 1 John 4:17, is it 1 John 4:17? You guys read, actually 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, now we are, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So it's a mystery. If you're a son now, there's something you're going to be. Then scripture says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, transcended to Godheadship. Now, it's very, very tricky because you're not God. You're not God. But I don't know how to say it. And this is why you need to understand, because I was sitting with a friend of mine a few days ago, a man of God, did something crazy. Sat on a table and began to pull cups with his hands. And somebody's like, ah, watcha. What? What movie is that? Doctor Strange, what? Eh? He began, a man of God, someone who sits in the very fellowship some of you have. Sometimes you pass by him and he says, hello. Began to move. Now you can imagine me, as I sat there, I was saying, I'm thinking, First, do it again. Do it again. Okay. Somewhere on this earth. Now, this is where you need to get it. Very important. Because you see, when Christ resurrected, he sat on the throne. When he sat on the throne, the Bible says you're seated with him. Okay? There is now no therefore no distinction. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, actually, I'm getting too many scriptures in my head. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Quickly. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So before we were alienated, now we have been reconciled. Then he gives us the ministry of reconciliation, which in essence is, you're literally a God. Reconcile everything back to you. Now, what that means is this. And I'm, what that means is this. That, look at God. When you look at God, you see wealth, you see love, you see power. When you see yourself, you shouldn't see yourself as having those things, but being them. Now, you guys, I know what I'm talking about, because you see, the element the enemy has brought us to is to think that you need to sit there and say, Lord, please give me. Do you know that language changes? When the Bible speaks to people, it speaks to people at different levels and different degrees. Somewhere it tells someone, what? Huh? Any of you lack wisdom? Ask. Okay? But then, later he says, by the unction of the Holy One, you know all things. He's not talking to the same type of people. And you see what the thing is? I'm trying to tell you, because I've learned this even from my father. I've learned this, that the moment you realize that the devil has tried, the biggest lie the enemy gave is to create disharmony between you and God, to make you look like you're separate entities. That's why salvation is such a crazy thing, Christ dying on the cross, because he raised man to literally the same stature. It's crazy. And yet man is not the God. Someone's saying, but this is total blasphemy of the highest order. But scripture says it. It says these things. The Bible says, give me the scripture, Isaiah 43 verse 7. Quickly. Isaiah 43 verse 7, what does it say? It says, everyone that is called by my name, which name? Huh? Jesus. Huh? That name. Not Yahweh, not Jehovah, not what? Jesus. Everyone that's called by my name. That means somewhere in the spirit world, while you're called Diana, in the spirit, you're called... Now, okay, what's it? Now, it doesn't mean you go calling yourself Jesus. But I'm trying to get you to understand that there's a place in the spirit where they look at you and see God. Amen. Such a hard thing to teach, eh? Very hard, but very true. Because the moment you realize this, let me tell you, when you're praying or when you're having time with God, instead of saying, Lord, I need a man, any man, I pray, give me a man. A black man, a fat man, a white man, any man, eh? Okay. Instead of saying such stuff, what you should learn is, I'll give you a tip. Take time, sit back. Meditate on what God is. And when you meditate on what God is, remind yourself you are. Yeah, I was telling someone, I was having a discussion with someone, a teacher, quote unquote. And he came to me and was telling me, you guys, what, prosperity? Huh? And he said, Jesus was poor. I said, okay, for the sake of argument, let's say Jesus was poor. Let's say he was poor. Because the Bible says he became poor that we might become rich. Eh? And he says, yeah, he pointed out things. Oh, you see here, he didn't have a place to sleep. I said, okay, fine. Let's say for argument's sake that Jesus was poor. Don't go comparing Jesus to your poor street guy out there. Because Jesus could call anything, anytime. Yes? So that's not the poverty that you could... The chap out there, he's real broke. Huh? Real, as in, he's just begging and believing God someday is going to... When a man... Jesus had what we call true riches. The place where a man can have nothing, but anytime he can call it. You're with me? Don't go comparing that poverty. It's not even poverty indeed. Because we're used to looking at things. The man had all things. When he says, go to a fish and it materializes mine, is that guy broke? Hey. So, whatever you see Jesus, or whatever you see God to have, God is not poor. You see? He's wealthy. If you're meditating on God, God does not say, let me first put this aside in case tough things come. Does he? No, he doesn't do that. And he says, as he is, so are we. Not will be, are we, so are we. So you sit and you see the principle is, things attracted to God-likeness. Amen. To the creator, the initiator. Amen. So you see, and this is where I need to tell you guys, eh? You need to be careful, because most people end up getting distracted. You can end up chasing an ML, huh? And you stress day and night, Lord, I need an ML, I need an ML. When all you can do is actually see God and see yourself. Because I'm telling you, it's a very simple principle. And you need to learn to practice it. Huh? God is not lonely. You go in the darkness, you see, lonely, I am so lonely. Can we agree? God is not lonely. So that means the more you sit and begin to meditate and sit, you're not thinking about a car. You're not necessarily thinking, spend more time seeing what God is and see yourself the same. Because there is no differentiation. You guys, that's actually the truth behind being called the master of the universe. It's actually the truth behind it. It's... Now, remember the spiritual principle we began with at the beginning. We said that because everything was attached to Adam, everything fell. In life, your world, there is nothing in your world now that has not originated from inside you. Nothing. Nothing. And so what happens is, if someone sees they don't have a job, eh? So, they, on a natural plane, they look for connections. Man of God, I don't know, my uncle is working here. Uncle, please get me. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to change the outside by working on the outside. And yet, with God, you sort the inside, your world conforms. Huh? Now, it's a challenge for you and I, because what happens is, I've seen in scripture, you guys, do you know that just by being in the presence of God, the Bible says that Moses' skin changed. Okay? It changes. Imagine the presence of God changing the DNA of skin, that it begins to shine. But it's nothing compared to Jesus in the transfiguration, because in the transfiguration, Jesus' clothes were also shining. In the Old Testament, Moses' skin is shiny, but the clothes are the same. Rugged, what? Hmm? Jesus gets the same element, except everything attaches, changes. That is about presence. Do you know, that recently I was with a man of God who has the gift of healing. And he was saying, Daniel, I discovered that diseases are microbes. Fiona, microbes
a tiny, tiny, tiny elements. Eh? Okay. Okay, microorganisms. I said, when someone gets fever or they have malaria, it's caused by a certain microbe. Eh? Now, when the Bible then says, go lay hands, and the sick shall be well, it's not magic. As in, poof, I've laid hands, and now they're well. You guys, anointing reaches the level of microbe and disseminates every single particle. I know what I'm talking about. Now, he was telling me that when he learned the power of healing, he used to just go lay hands. Now, when he lays hands, he sees those microbes. Hey, you guys. Amen. Huh? Oh, am I even? Maybe someone needs that here. If you know how crazy powerful you are, like a devil, like a demon that comes chasing in the middle of the night. Huh? I remember I was at home recently, I'd bought something to hold the, I don't even know what to call it. I hadn't even bought it, it was actually my wife, but anyway. So, it was holding something, but she had put it in a place where, it wasn't holding quite well, eh? But I didn't know. So I'm alone at home, and, man of God, I'm in the spirit. Eh? So I hear, kataka! So, who's there? So, I'm like, it's just my mind. Huh? Just my mind. I remind myself, as I am, as he is, so I am. Then the thing falls. Bagarara. You should have seen me. I kid you not. That night I hear the Spirit of the Lord telling me, but she's surely man of God. A whole man of God. Eh? A kakele is falling and you're, I jumped. Eh? Anyway, let me touch this and we close. Eh? I'm still a work in progress. Eh? Now, let me explain what that means. Let me explain that. Actually, I'm a finished product. But I need to get into that place that I'm a finished product. People will see cockroaches. You know? But all of us have to get to a place, and in every area of life, we have to get to a place where as we see him, as we behold him, we are changed to the very same image. That's the spiritual law. And the enemy will do anything to ensure that your focus is away from what you see God truly is. Because let me tell you, we have limited God by sitting down and trying to orchestrate things and try to make sure that we maneuver and make things happen. And yet, Scripture simply says, as he is, the Bible says, you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so look for those scriptures. Begin to say, because there are things I know I have learned that attract certain things because you've discovered Godship in you. That's why I say you're the king of your realm. Everything around you can't be disassociated from you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, he goes to the potter and says, can the clay say to the potter, you did not make me? That's what it says in Jeremiah. Now what that actually means is this, that your circumstance cannot deny you. Somewhere, and this is why I say alienated in your mind, and it all starts from the mind thing, because somewhere I know there are people here who have been trying crazy things, and that's the way to go. You cry the crazy things. After I sat with that guy moving cups, you should have seen me that afternoon. Come, come. Why isn't this thing working? I says, one step at a time, one step at a time.
But you're only alienated from God in your mind. That's why the Bible says renew it. Once your mind is bestowed and you see yourself as God is, everything will conform. Your issue is not having a job. It's not having a job. Because how can God, who owns cattle on 1,000 hills, fail to give you a job? Someone is believing, by the way, stop believing God for jobs of 300K. I don't even know if that's a job. That is casual unemployment. You're supposed to be sitting at the very helm. So see yourself as the highest that you're supposed to be. See yourself sitting on a throne because Christ is there. The best way, and I'll close with this. I have found, and this one I got, that you see, the fastest way to encounter experiences in the Spirit is to draw and see God primarily through the eyes of love. Now that's very important. Trust me. In the spirit world or spiritual experiences, God does not exist or cannot exist in a place where someone is not nurturing the component of love. That's why people jump into the spirit world and see other things. That's why scripture then says, first go and make peace with your brother. I don't understand it. Because put aside that chick that has pissed you off, you know, sit back, nurture the love in you as you enter. It's actually the easiest way. That's why in Ephesians 3:19, this is going to be the final scripture I give. Ephesians 3:19. Quick. It says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There is such a thing as being filled with all the fullness of God. And he's speaking to believers. Say, but I already have the Holy Spirit in me. It says, to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what it means. You see God, you see wealth in him, and you meditate on that. I'm telling you, you will attract things. After that, next time we shall go to things of firing people and all those things. Huh? You just decree. You stand on a throne. Actually, no, you don't stand on a throne. You sit on your throne. You sit and say... Yeah? You sit and you say, this guy is disturbing me now. What? I remove you in the name of Jesus. And remember, every time you say the name of Jesus, scripture also says that you are called by his name. Somewhere in the spirit, you enter and they'll look at you and they'll say, they don't see Hajara. These names actually stop here. You guys, tough teaching, but it's true. From the very beginning, we were transitioned from worlds that brought us to a state that we're in. When Jesus died and resurrected, he put us back in the state that Adam had, except better. Because Adam, scripture refers to him as a son of God, but it doesn't say he is as he is. So is he, eh? He was a son of God, but scripture then says we are sons of God, but we do not know what we shall be. You shall be something. The enemy lies to you by trying to show you that there's a disharmony between you and God, that you're not one. Biggest lie ever. And the more you allow that to happen, the more he has access to mess around with your things. Praise the Lord. Eh? In the old times, the times of the Noahs, when those fallen angels came down, when they fell, before the flood, there were no demons. They were just fallen angels. Because demons came after the flood, when the giants were... The giants were killed, those spirits became demons. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, demons are causing chaos, but we don't see the casting out of demons or the mentioning of demons in the Old Testament a lot. The reason is because people think God is the one doing all this stuff. That's why Job says, oh Lord, Job actually, even the story ends, he never knows that it was actually the devil who caused that issue. He goes on, lives extra years, dies, leaves the earth, thinking God is the one who did it. God never says, oh, by the way, it wasn't me. So in the Old Testament, all these bootchaps are causing chaos. Jesus shows up out of nowhere and start casting out within. New Jesus says, hey, come out, come out. He says, hey. So you mean there are chaps behind there who are causing all these issues? I always tell myself that if a demon comes into my house, no, I don't jump. No. I wasn't jumping because I thought it was a demon. I thought it was over what? I don't know, eh? But if a demon comes to visit into my house, it better be coming knowing that if I see it, it won't come, it won't, it won't escape. Won't escape. Remember one time when I told you that I was with someone and I saw a demon pass? Huh? And the person was like, man of God. Man of God. Where did it go? Which direction did it go? When you talk about angels, the angels of the Lord are here. Oh, great. Yes, it's wonderful. That's fantastic. Stop being demon conscious and be God conscious. Praise the Lord. Sit on your throne. Get to where you are supposed to sit. Ultimately, when we get to the other world, and you're going to start seeing it when you have access, you enter the spirit world, when you see certain things, you begin to realize the first thing that will hit you is, all this time I had this ability and I didn't even pick out Barbara's name. Somewhere out there, someone is fasting day and night, mosquitoes are eating them. I was telling someone, this one will be controversial, but I'm controversial. I was telling someone that, you see, Jesus was on earth how long? 33 years. 33 years, he fasted 40 days, 40 nights. At the beginning of the ministry, we never see him fast again, yes? Now, let's on average, someone has lived 33 years. The Son of God himself fasts 40, and even then it was led by the Spirit. He didn't tell him, let me fast surely. So he's led by the Spirit. The Bible says into a desert, 40 days, 40 nights, he's fasting. After that, we never see him fasting again. Now, my question to a person was this. If Jesus, from what we see in scripture, were 40 days, 40 nights of fasting for a ministry of 33 and a half years, you every year you're doing 40 days, 40 nights? Every single year you're doing 40 days, 40 nights? Now it doesn't mean you don't fast. But 40 days, 40, every night, 40 days, 40 nights, we see you the same. Every 40 days, 40 nights. Really? Praise the Lord. If you knew the importance, the true essence of fasting, especially fasting is easier when it's spirit-led. Now, some people, I've just released some people, because some people will say, that's not the spirit. I'm not going to fast. No, no, Lord, that's not you. That's a demon I bind in the name of Jesus. But there's a grace released when the Spirit of the Lord leads you into a fast. Then all these things, and I'm telling you, all these things that you're saying, I need a breakthrough. Let me fast 10 days. Or that you can indeed at that level fast 10 days. Or you can sit as you see him, you are. And you nourish it now. Please hear me carefully. That when you nourish those thoughts, when you stop being alienated in your mind, keep nourishing them until those thoughts become feelings. So, for example, if I want new clothes, I sit somewhere, see myself, see God. God doesn't lack what he wants. Okay? Everything is with him. I see myself, now I pick what I want to wear. I see myself dressed in neat, feel nice. What? You see, meditation doesn't have to be tears, what? Dry mouth. You see yourself,
Hear me. You see yourself, you dress yourself up, and you do it until you feel it. It transitions from thought to feeling. Once it has reached feeling, you've now brought it. Now, when it comes, it doesn't come in the sense that someone will say, I need a TV, and you look for money. Who told you that you might be walking along the way and someone says, but you know, I want to give you my TV? Who told you that you need money? When you're envisioning, don't narrow God's tools to money. You focus on the thing you want and you say, cut, now I'm ready. So now you walk around and say, I'm going to receive my TV. That's why, ladies, even you find, that's why when someone is busy thinking about marriage so much and they nourish it, it's literally meditative envisioning. Many masqueraders come. Now, why? They don't even know, because you are around them all the time. But they don't know what has attracted them. But as he is. So all of a sudden, there's a manifest God invisible thing in you that is making people realize something about this girl. Now, whether they come with their mind, they're saying, man, for me, I don't want marriage, but for me, I'm after you. Now it's up to you to start peeky, peeky, ponky. Get out. Get out. Get out. Eh? Nourish. Nourish the mindset until it reaches, it becomes feeling. After that, it's just a matter of time. Because I have found the way envisioning works. Because you don't see clearly, it affects the duration. The clearer you see, the shorter the manifestation. Huh? Hey. So the clearer you see, and actually it becomes a secret even for things like healing. Because you might not have a gift of healing, but when you have envisioned people getting healed when you touch, they get healed. Because it's a spiritual principle. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? I might have talked too much. Eh? Huh? When a prophet speaks, releases a word over you, that word is not only above you, it dresses you. You're dressed. So, they say, see marriage? Mata karabosha. Garment. Huh? Garment. Now, that garment is actually more important than your wedding gown. Because the same garment that has been dressed upon you, please understand that the way you think, the mind, the way you alienate yourself, the mind that you have, will make it seem you dress yourself. The Bible talks about a garment of what? Of sorrow, which is not your portion. Not your portion. Dress yourself up. You say, I've received the word. I'm walking in power. Okay. Okay. Even with things to do with business and money. Money is subdued when you put it in its place. How do you put it in its place? Number one. And I know where I've come from. I knew days when I had 500 shillings in my pocket. I said, the Lord provides. Surely the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, my. But the pockets were empty. And there are Christians out there who are singing the same songs, but don't seem to be representing the song that they're singing. And so, even with money is put in its place. Number one, when you're envisioning, you don't use it as the supreme tool, because God can use anything to bring what you want. One. Number two, is that when you have it, it shouldn't dictate. Yes? And you guys know this. Eh? So, the other day, I had, I won't say amount, I had a certain amount of money on me, and man, the Lord is going to take me away from this rent thing, no matter how much I'm paying. Eh? I have to own a house. Say amen. Now, because I was thinking about, now you move to a house of 6 a.m. but it's still rent. You don't know what? No.
Anyway, so I had money and rent was coming. So I looked at my lovely wife. I said, no, but she should get some nice shoes. Huh?
Then some thing comes and says, but the rent. For me, the moment you speak, I say, honey. Quarter. Go and shop. Oh, thank you very much.
And by the way, because the day I learned that principle, I have never, I guarantee you, never lacked. There's people I sit with during the week. I often take out my wallet. Huh? And it's empty. And I walk with it empty. Because I'm building my faith. Not because I don't have money. I can hear someone saying, but she, even me, I walk with it.
Even me, I walk with it. That's nothing super. I'm not talking about. I'm not trying. You guys, we should finish. So you think, no, I'm not talking about you don't have money, so you walk with it empty, eh? I'm talking about actually having money, but you're learning the principle of calling it. Okay? So I'll show someone, I'll often go with an empty wallet. And I set an amount in the morning, and by evening, so far, for the past about 3 months, I've never gone below the amount I've set. Never. And by the way, I'm not talking about Panangichari. Mpakusente. Love a wallet. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an actual life of faith. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, please. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm saying the instruction that I got that has worked for me, because I've had to learn by fire, by force, to put this money thing in its place. And so every night or every day, I spend time nurturing my God-likeness. And you must do the same. Praise the Lord.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.